Welcome to worship at Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Welcome to the first Sunday of Lent. We are preparing to follow Jesus on his journey to the cross, and we are grateful that you are with us. So a few logistical announcements. This coming Wednesday marks the beginning of our Wednesday evening Lenten series on confirmation for adults. Most of the time, John O'Donovan and I will be leading that together. This coming week, John is doing it by himself, and then later on in the series, one week, I'll be doing it by myself while John and Linda are enjoying some time away. But most of the time, we'll be doing it together, and it's a really fun, really interactive, really really laid-back sort of time together. We're not doing any kind of worship service. It's just really kind of a discussion type thing. And whether you have been confirmed in this denomination or not, whether you have been whether you are a quote unquote transplant from other denominations, you know. Whether you've been UCC all your life, you will find something in this series that will be meaningful to you. I truly believe it. So we're really excited to share in that with you. And then the other thing that you should know is that this coming week, from Thursday until Saturday, I will be out of state. I have been invited by the Illinois South Conference, UCC, to join in a Day of Discipleship event that they're having. I'm giving a keynote, I'm doing a workshop, and I'm leading worship at an event around disability advocacy and disability justice and doing some music and stuff there. And so that's going to be a really fun time for me. But I will be making a whirlwind trip back from Illinois South to come back in time to lead worship here on Sunday. So if I look a little tired or a little bit ragged, that's probably why. So that is what you should know. And I will be on call for you if you need something. But if you need somebody present with you physically, John will be available to you as well. Any other announcements? Yes, Heather's got one.
Good morning. Couple of announcements about the community table. We will be providing food and hosting. Thank you, first of all, to everybody who has signed up to either help with the serving or provide baked goods for that. And those who have also helped contribute either recently or in the past. We actually had some funding left over from the last time that we're putting towards this, so thank you very much for that. We will be providing Sloppy Joes from Leroy Meats and cheesy potatoes and chips and desserts and vegetables. So if you're available, please stop by also to share in the meal. If you're providing baked goods for that, if you could drop those off at church either Wednesday during the Lenten program that's going on at 7 or during office hours from 8:30 to 12:30. We will also be here Thursday night preparing from 6 to 7, so feel free to stop in to help prepare or drop off baked goods then. If you're helping to serve on Friday, if you could please be at the community center around 10:30 in the kitchen, we would appreciate it. But most of all, thank you all for your support in helping us with this much valued program in our community.
Thanks, Heather. Any other announcements this morning? Yes.
Lana, I don't know if you can flip up the screen to help me remember. The Creation Care Southeast and Northeast regions will be meeting next Saturday from 10 till 2 at Pilgrim UCC in Fond du Lac. And Robert Allman will be there as he is the chair of that work, discussing those things, and it's an opportunity for us to learn about what we might be contemplating in the near future for how we want to do our creation care work or pay it forward work that we've been discussing as a council. Then, as a follow-up, on April 6th, we will have the Reverend Bob Allman here after church, so like, let's say, 10:30-ish, quarter two-ish, or after we get our coffee settled, until about noon on Sunday, April 6th. So we hope those interested and anyone curious joins us.
Thank you, Deanne. Anything else? Okay, let us share the peace of Christ with each other.
If you'll please join with me in the call to worship. Praise be to the Creator of all life. In God's wisdom we were made.
In relationship for our relationship.
Interdependence means we rely on each other.
We rely on the earth and all its creatures.
We offer back what we have.
We know we are never really alone.
Thanks be to the holy web that holds us.
Thanks be to reciprocal.
Join with me in our opening prayer. Gracious guide, on one level, we know humans have always relied on each other, the land and you. But we, of this time and place, have inherited newer stories, ones that prize self-reliance and independence, individualism and willpower. Helpful as they are, they leave us tired, lonely, severed from the webs of life. We pray to be woven back into the whole. Teach us anew how to help and be helped. Amen.
Our opening hymn is number 506, I Want Jesus to Walk With Me.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated.
Morning. I have some kids that want to come up with me today. All right, a whole bunch. Awesome.
Morning, y'all.
All right. This is awesome.
Good to see everybody.
Where's my note cards here? How are you doing today? Everybody good? Good, 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 good. I'm going to talk to you about Lent. Lent. Do you know what Lent is? No? No? Have you heard of it?
No.
No. They never even heard of Lent. Oh, my gosh. Do you know how long Lent lasts? No, I wouldn't think so, because you'd have never heard of it. All right. And then, you know what the funny thing is? It starts on a Wednesday. Would you usually start things on Wednesdays?
No.
No? Just, oh, torn would. Yeah? Okay. Well, to answer all these questions, I turn to an old hymn, and don't worry, I won't sing. You guys, that would be bad. I'd drive everybody out. I turn to a song called These 40 Days of Lent, O Lord. Now do we know how long it lasts? Did you hear that?
40.
Yeah, John got it. He caught that. Yeah. It lasts. And the answer to why does it start on a Wednesday? So it can land on a Sunday, Easter Sunday to be exact. That's why it starts on a Wednesday. Well, the first line in the song says, "These 40 days of Lent, O Lord, with you we fast and pray." Fast. What does fast mean? Anybody know what fast means?
The really fast means like they're running really fast.
Yeah, running really fast. That's what I would have thought.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. You think cars speeding by on the road might be another form of fast?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another form of fast. Well, in this case, you know, the Bible always throws these weird terms at us. In this case, fast is really short for fasting. And fasting is different than going fast. Fasting is not eating at all.
Not eating.
That would be super
bad.
That would be super hard, wouldn't it? And it could be bad for you. Yeah, absolutely.
How many of you eat breakfast in the morning?
I do.
You eat breakfast in the morning?
You ate
breakfast today? That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Your parents are good parents. They had you eat breakfast. So breakfast literally means break fast. So you don't get up, usually you don't get up in the middle of the night and eat, right? Like
right.
you might have a bedtime snack and then you go to bed and you sleep and you eat breakfast in the morning. So breaking your fast means that you are literally stopping eating.
Yeah, thank you for that, Jacob. That was a great explanation. So fasting, Jesus went into a desert for 40 days and fasted. He didn't eat for 40 days. That's a long time. We would have a hard time living through 40 days. But so a lot of Christians give up something they really, really like. Like when I was your age, I was the cookie monster in my household.
Did you have a cookie monster?
Oh. Yeah, on Sesame Street we did. Yes, I was the Cookie Monster, I think. And one time during Lent, I gave up cookies. You know what that means? That means there's a plate of cookies on the kitchen table, and everyone else in the family could have a cookie.
But you eat
But I, no, that's because I didn't eat them all, no. That's a good guess, though. Cookie Monster would have ate them all. Yes, exactly. But I couldn't. I gave it up for Lent. So I couldn't have any cookies. And that was, I couldn't have any. And that was really hard for me. Maybe when I was your age, I might have cried about it, but I had to be tough.
It's almost my birthday, too.
I know your birthday's coming up. I think it's the 23rd, isn't it? Is it next Sunday?
It's almost my cousin's
birthday. It's almost your cousin's birthday, too. Cool.
Lots of birthdays. Yeah. Lots of things.
Well, the second line of my song, These 40 Days of Lent, O Lord, goes to teach us to discipline our wills. Wills are wants, okay? And follow, Lord, your ways. That means we have to discipline ourselves. So when I couldn't have any cookies, I had to just face the fact that I couldn't have a cookie. I had to discipline myself not to take one.
Why did you not take one?
Because I gave it up for Lent. Yeah. And and I had to follow the Lord's ways. All right. So going back to our questions, what is Lent? Lent is a period of time, a period of time that's 40 days, where we focus on the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Okay? Remember, Jesus fasted for 40 days in the desert, and he gave up his life for us on the cross. And so we give something up during Lent as a way to remember just how much Jesus loved you. Okay, we're not going to talk about that right now, though. Okay. All right, Pastor Jacob, could you lead us in prayer,
Absolutely.
Please? Hold your hand.
Absolutely. I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God,
thank you
for reminding us
what it means
to celebrate Lent, even when we have to give up our cookies. Help us
share your love
wherever we go,
and whatever we do.
Amen.
Today's scripture readings are from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. Once you have entered the land of the Lord, your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you take possession of it and are settled there, take some of the early produce of the fertile ground that you have harvested from the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket. Then go to the location the Lord your God selects for his name to reside. Go to the priest who is in office at the time and say to him, I am declaring right now before the Lord my God that I have indeed arrived in the land the Lord swore to ancestors to give us. The priest will then take the basket from you and place it before the Lord your God's altar. Then you should solemnly state before the Lord your God, my father was a starving Aramean. He went down to Egypt, living as an immigrant, there with few family members, but that is where he became a great nation, mighty and numerous. The Egyptians treated us terribly, oppressing us and forcing hard labor on us. So we cried out for help to the Lord, our ancestors' God. The Lord heard our call. God saw our misery, our trouble, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. With awesome power and with signs of wonders, he brought us to the place and gave us this land, a land full of milk and honey. So now I am bringing the early produce of the fertile ground that you, Lord, have given me. Set the produce before the Lord, bowing down before the Lord your God. Then celebrate all the good things the Lord your God has done for you and your family, each one of you along with the Levites and the immigrants who are among you. Our second reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus returned from the Jordan River, full of the Holy Spirit, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and afterward Jesus was starving. The devil said to him, since you are God's son, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus replied, it's written, people won't live only by bread. Next, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in a single instant all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said, I will give you this whole domain and the glory of all these kingdoms. It has been entrusted to me, and I can give it to you, anyone I want. Therefore, if you will worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it's written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him. The devil brought him into Jerusalem and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to him, since you are God's son, throw yourself down from here, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and then they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone. Jesus answered, it's been said, don't test the Lord your God. After finishing every temptation, the devil departed from him until the next opportunity. Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Becca. My friends, will you join me in prayer? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before I actually start my sermon, I want to know if there are cooties on this side of the... It's really lopsided. I don't know. Oh, to try to even it out, a futile attempt to even it out, I would like to note. Oh. So today we are starting Lent, and we are starting a new sermon series on repenting from Christian nationalism. And today's topic is self-reliance, and so to sort of frame us a little bit, I'll talk about what all that means in a minute. But so, as a rural congregation, it's easy for us to sometimes forget our connection to the rest of the denomination, perhaps, or to other churches. I think, are very good at remembering that we belong to each other, right, to this church, but we don't always remember the ways that we belong to other churches. And that's why I'm really excited to talk today about self-reliance. I would be remiss if I didn't take some time to properly define Christian nationalism and why it's so dangerous for the kind of Christian faith that we practice in our church. So one of the first things that people say when they talk about Christian nationalism is that it's a form of Christianity that believes that Christian faith should influence our country's politics and the ways that we express them, and wishing that Christianity would inform every sphere of the public, from the government to schools to everything in between. Not a bad thing in and of itself, necessarily, but sometimes it's done as out at the expense of other religions and creeds, and sometimes not even other religions at all. One example is this, right? So every single year, our kids have off for Christmas and Easter. When is the last time our kids had off for Passover or for Eid or for other religious holidays, right? Doesn't really happen. And another example is when we talk about prayer in schools, who do we think we're praying to, right? We're not thinking of praying to Allah. We're not thinking of praying to Buddha. We're thinking of praying to God and Jesus. And that can be kind of exclusionary to people who believe in other religions and who don't believe in other religions at all. And to make matters more complicated, the worst of Christian nationalism also goes hand in hand with systemic violence. Fear of minority groups like LGBTQ people, for example, and other alarming social trends. Now, if the United States were truly a Christian nation, as some people who profess Christian nationalism would like it to be, other religions, Islam, Hinduism, Judaism, would find it more difficult to practice their faith, and other social minority groups would be even more oppressed than they are now. And today's aspect of Christian nationalism that I'm talking about today is self-reliance. This idea that we don't see each other as part of our community. We pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We remember our own accomplishments. We rely on our own abilities to do things, rather than reminding ourselves that we are in connection and that God's community includes everybody. We can learn from the experiences of oppressed people and those who have religions that are different from ours, but we don't always think about that. Both of these texts today talk about self-reliance and how it's dangerous. I'll talk about the gospel first. So the gospel text for today is a very familiar story, right? Jesus is tempted in the wilderness by the devil. And at every possible opportunity, the devil tries to tempt Jesus after 40 days of him not being able to eat and all of that. And first, the devil says, "Take this stone and turn it into bread. I bet you're really hungry, Jesus." And Jesus says, "It is written, We don't live only by bread, right? We live by the Holy Spirit, by God sustaining us and God taking care of us. Then the devil says, I have all these kingdoms and all this territory, and if you bow down to me, it will all be yours. Wow. But Jesus says, you serve only one God, and it's not you. Then he says that God, that followers of God rely on God for protection in the midst of difficult circumstances, and that God shouldn't be tested. And in these moments, Jesus could have amassed incredible power. But instead, he understood the importance of relying on God, as relying on himself was never what he was there to do. In a similar way, the text from Deuteronomy reminds us that when we trust in God's care and God's love for us, God will protect and provide for us. So the writer of Deuteronomy is talking about Egyptians, people who are refugees from Egyptian slavery, and they're going to the promised land, the land of milk and honey, and they were out, they were being led out of oppression and all of these things, and the writer of Deuteronomy says, God heard our call and saw our misery and our trouble and our oppression, and God brought us out of this thing, right? And finally, the instructions that are given to the people after they are escaped from slavery is to celebrate all the good things that the Lord your God has done for you and your family, each one of you, along with the Levites and immigrants who are among you. So there is produce that is given to these people as a result of God providing for them, and they are instructed to bring some of this produce to a priest, to a local priest, and say, this is how God has provided for me. And it's a sign that they had what they needed. So both of these scriptures talk about relying on God. And instead of relying on our own best efforts, instead of relying on the ways of the world, instead of relying on our own accomplishments, that God, relying on God helps us grow in our faith and testify to the ways that God has been present for us. Now, on one hand, this seems like a nice idea, right? But since we can't necessarily see God in person, since we can't necessarily see God in action, we sometimes struggle to discern God's activity in our daily lives. That's why we think of our own accomplishments in our own society most of the time. But our scriptures remind us to repent from self-reliance and to instead focus on understanding ourselves as part of God's beloved community. So what does this have to do with Christian nationalism? Well, if we look at the gospel first, we could be tempted, as Jesus was tempted, by all of this power that the devil was prepared to give him. And we could take all of the power in our own hands and rely on the strength of our power instead of what God gives to us. But Jesus reminds us that relying on God and God's activity in our lives is much more fruitful. And on the other hand, from Deuteronomy, we can recognize that we're part of God's beloved community. When we enter into a new place, we don't just try to take it over and dominate it, but instead, we recognize ourselves as part of the community that God protects and loves equally. Remember at the end of the Deuteronomy scripture where it says, celebrate all the good things that God has done for you and your family and also the Levites and the immigrants who are among you. Remember, the Levites were probably a different social class, a different race, a different culture. And so, like, how can we fill in that blank, right? So there are probably people, when we think about how God has been present for us and what God has done for us, could we also maybe think of the LGBTQ person that we encounter? Could we maybe think of the person who has a different race or a disability or some sort of thing? My thing went away here. There are all sorts of ways that we can remember how God has been present for all of them and how we can be a blessing. And that's the last piece of this. We think about how not only how we rely on God, but how others rely on us, right? We can be a blessing, like the people from Egypt, providing the produce as a reminder that God has been with them. So this week I invite you to think about how you might move from self-reliance, from picking yourself up by your own bootstraps, to recognizing your own accomplishments, to relying on God, relying on others, and letting others rely on you. As I said in the beginning of this sermon, sometimes we insulate ourselves from being in community, and I think it's a worthwhile question to ask of how have you insulated yourself from being in community with others as well? And, you know, maybe we think about this from a church perspective. Maybe we think about how to work better with other churches. Maybe we think about how to understand ourselves as connected to the rest of our denomination here. But maybe it's not even church-related. Maybe we think about how others have relied on us to be helpful to others in community. Maybe we think about how we rely on others. And then how we think about how we rely on God. But no matter what it is, may you know that God has created all of us for community and connection, and that God gives us the grace and the courage to continue those connections even when times are difficult. May you go into this week remembering that we, this whole community, not just us here in this church, but like wider, may you remember that we belong to one another. And that when you bless others with your words and actions, you in turn bless yourself. May it be so. Thanks be to God. Amen. So as part of this series, as I told you, I also wrote a song for churches around the state of Wisconsin, and I even got an email from somebody in, I think, Massachusetts who is using this song, a church in Massachusetts who is using this song. And I thought that since I wrote this song for other people to use, I figured we might use it too. So today we're just going to do one verse. There are three verses, and we'll sing the whole song eventually. Today we'll just do the chorus and the first verse. And the choir is going to help me teach you the chorus, and then I'll sing a verse, and we'll sing the chorus again, and that'll be that for this week. So it goes like this. Here's the chorus. We repent from injustices that benefit us. We respond for our neighbors with courageous love. I've got a verse.
For too long we've relied on ourselves, haunted by our fear of the other. Let's throw systems of violence away, laboring for justice together.
We repent!
We repent from injustices that benefit us. We respond for our neighbors with courageous love, and we say, full of hope, that God changes our hearts. We are learning, we're all on the way. We are learning, we're all on the way.
Amen. So now comes a time of prayer together. Now we think of the people and situations that are on our prayer, on our hearts, and need our prayers today. We'll start with silence. Receive the prayers of our hearts, O God. Amen. So I've got a few prayer requests that I was given. Sandra and Jeff Champion let me know that Jeff had been scheduled to have surgery last week, but he had a sinus infection. His surgery was rescheduled to this coming Tuesday. So with prayers that Jeff can get better and prayers that his surgery can be successful, and with prayers to Sandra and to Jeff's medical team. God, in your mercy.
Receive our prayer.
And also my mom's surgery to remove the cancer on her liver is this coming Friday. I was supposed to be able to be with her for her surgery when it was on the date that it was normally scheduled, but there was a conflict with the surgeon, so I'm going to be out of state on Friday. But my mom told me, well, you know, no offense to you, Jacob, but I just want to get this thing out. And I said, don't worry about it, Mom. If I were you, I wouldn't wait for me either. So with prayers for my mom and for my sister and my dad and for my mom's medical team as they do this. God, in your mercy.
Receive our prayer.
Also, Jane Dirksen-Cheney is recovering from surgery. Surgery went well, but she's having some other health complications as a result of that. So with prayers for Jane and for Steve as she recovers. God, in your mercy.
Receive our prayer.
And then I have some news. I've got an immense joy. So some of you have met my girlfriend, Rafi, Serafina is her full name. And she and I went to Door County last weekend to celebrate her birthday. And while we were in Door County, I proposed, and she said yes. Thank you. So we are looking at a 2027 wedding. Both of us come from big families. Her dad is one of 14, for goodness sakes. So we are we're looking to the future with lots of joy and lots of anticipation. So for all of that, God on your mercy.
Receive our prayer.
Anything else today? Yes. Alana's on her way.
A couple weeks ago, we prayed for my sister who was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Indeed.
She had her lumpectomy about a week and a half ago, and the pathology reports did not come back great. Oh. So more of a battle to come. Mm-hmm. We're not sure what that will all entail yet at this point. She's got more testing this week.
Remind me what your sister's name
Rachel
is.
Rachel Hoffman.
Rachel. For Rachel and for her medical team, God in your mercy.
Receive our prayer.
Janet's got one.
Hi, I think we all need prayers for, have the strength to pray for people that are difficult to personally to pray for, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It can be challenging for me with some situations, you know, to pray for the people that probably need it most.
Mm. Yeah. In the midst of our political, ideological, religious, social divisions, all of the ways that we need each other and we need to pray for one another. God, in your mercy. Anything else?
I'd like to ask for prayers for my cousin Ellen, who is on her way out.
You said Ellen?
Ellen.
For Ellen, God in your mercy. Anything else today? Choir, anything from you? Okay. Anything on Zoom?
No.
Nope. Okay. Then let us be in prayer. God of grace and love, you remind us that we don't have to do this thing alone. You remind us that relying on ourselves was never the way that you intended for us, but instead that we rely on each other and we rely on you and let others rely on us. As we do so, help us remember those who need our care the most, for Jeff and for Sandra and Jane and Steve and Bob and Melanie and Emily, my family, and for me and my beloved, as we look toward the future. There are so many ways that people are struggling in the world. People like Ellen, people like Diane's sister, Rachel. But there are so many ways that we can be lights of hope and love. We can be with those who are facing homelessness, food insecurity, poverty, and discrimination. We can be with those who need care and love in special ways and provide that light of love. We can continue to be there for each other as you've been there for us. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who showed us the way and teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may give your gift as the ushers are coming around, or you may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you give with generous hearts for the ministry of this church and for the world. Join me in the prayer of dedication. Redeeming One, so many people carry burdens too heavy for one. We need communities to hold us. We need communities built on care and creativity, compassion and resource sharing. Bless these resources to freeing us of stories that blame and shame individuals for systemic problems. Deepen our sense of belonging to God and to each other. Amen. You may be seated. Since we didn't get to do this on Wednesday, since we weren't physically together on Wednesday, I wanted to give people who wanted the opportunity to receive ashes, to get to receive them, you have options, as you always do when you're here. You may receive ashes on your forehead or on your wrist, whichever is more comfortable for you to do so. And your other option is simply to not receive ashes at all. Not everybody resonates with this tradition, and so you're welcome to simply sit and pray. But if you would like to receive ashes, you can come up, and I will be glad to share them with you. So, friends, may you know that you are dust, and to dust you will return, and you may come up at this time to receive ashes if you'd like.
And we rise from ashes. rise again.
Closing hymn is number 438 on Eagle's Wings. We'll be singing verses 1 and 3. If you rise, if it's comfortable for you to do so. Words of benediction. Behind every thriving individual is a community of support. Behind so much suffering is a lack of community support. Let us resist the logics of isolation and individualization. There is a more gracious way, a more natural way, a way where breathing comes easier and flourishing is shared. Let us go with God to give and receive. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
What happened? Easter, did you say?
Easter was.
Okay.